Brother Dwayne has asked that we would read from John chapter 20. We'll read verses 19 through 29. There is something that Jesus repeats three times in this passage, in verses 19, verse 21, and again in verse 26, he says to his disciples, "Peace be unto you." Verses 19 and 26, it's after it says that Jesus came and stood in their midst. And in verse 21, it's after Jesus, it's when Jesus says that he is sending them. When Jesus comes and when Jesus sends, there he will bring peace. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Let's kneel together in prayer.
It is good to be with you this morning. Somehow, we would, Carol and I would like to try to convey our thanks again to you for your prayers, your love that we've felt and enjoyed in the midst of all this, and we've sensed, and your care for us. The financial assistance, the gifts, the Christmas cards. We've tried to keep after the thank you notes. If we haven't and we missed you, it was not by our intention, and we apologize. But to all of you, we say thank you. And again, that doesn't seem adequate, but we trust the Lord will convey that to you and bless you. As far as an update on me, there's not a whole lot of change. I did see my kidney doctor this week, and basically my numbers stayed the same, even with the reducing of medicine. She's reducing my kidney medicine even further. I'll soon be on virtually nothing. Because of the process in pursuing a potential transplant. So basically this week we will finalize the hospital of choice, and we'll wait then to be referred to them and to hear from the hospital, and then the search will begin for a living donor. That process can take 6 to 12 months. It's very extensive. The testing, a doctor said they do all kinds of tests. They even do psychological treatment. I wonder what they'll find when they do that on me. But at any rate, they make sure you're ready to receive the kidney and ready to give one. There's some things about that that I'm not real thrilled about. Potentially taking a kidney from one of my children. But all seven of them are lining up. And I'm thankful for our family. Title of the message this morning is Trust That God Will Be God. Earlier in the year of 2017, which we just passed out of, a thrill seeker in the United Kingdom became the oldest person ever to skydive. A man by the name of Verndon Hayes got the idea to skydive about the time he turned 90. But his wife wouldn't let him. After she passed away, he decided to make the tandem attempt at the age of 101. And it was a success. Beautiful, he said afterward. Really, I'd do it again tomorrow. You know, the word thrill means a wave of emotion or excitement that causes a joyful sensation through our being. And God has filled our world with things that thrill us. Sunrises and sunsets, glistening snow on trees, the beauty of creation holding a newborn child. Especially when it's our own. That's quite a thrill to experience. And then the various other experiences in life that give us a thrill. But this morning, nothing thrills me more than what Jesus has done for me and what he's doing. It seems that the Apostle John was also thrilled with what God had done. And when chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now that's not just a dry statement of knowledge. Rather, it is a declaration of utter amazement that God would love us so much that he would make it possible for us to be called his children. And when thinking about living the Christian life and all that God has done and what Christ means to me, I too would say, like the 100-year-old skydiver, I'll do it again. I have no regrets of giving my life to Christ. That's not saying that I have done everything right. There have been mistakes and sins and consequences that I could have avoided that I do regret. However, I'm thankful for the second chances, the thirds, fourths, and so on, that God gives to the opportunities to start fresh with a clean slate. I've never forgotten the statement, and it was Brother Harold, the first one that I heard say it, and I've never forgotten it. And he said, "The Christian life is a series of new beginnings." In other words, it involves a lot of new, fresh starts. Well, we've entered into a new year, 2018. Now, I can remember, it didn't seem that long ago, that the year 2000 seemed like it was a good ways off. Here we are in 2018. The beginning of a new year is often viewed as a new, fresh start. People make resolutions. Resolution is simply a firm decision to do something or not to do something. And they determine to make changes that will make for a new beginning. But I can't think of a better resolution than if you're an unbeliever here this morning, or if you're a believer, as most of us are, a better resolution than to go to the Savior or to be faithful to our Savior in 2018. And the hymn writer states it well when he said, "I am resolved, a firm decision to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife." He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. It would seem to me that there's no better resolution than that. We have been given another fresh start, so to speak. A new year. I apologize for this, but this is probably going to happen more than once. Gets to the point where everything seems blurry. That's not ideal when you're up here. A new year, but it will not be without challenges, will it? I personally start this year with unknowns ahead of me, some of them a little scary to my flesh. But you know, we all have unknowns ahead of us. None of us know all the details of our lives. A year ago at this time, I didn't know there was anything wrong with me. I certainly didn't anticipate 2017 to be what it was. However, through all the unknowns of last year, Carol and I can say that we do know that God was with us. And we do know that God is walking with us through the unknowns of each new day that we face. And with that, we step back with utter amazement at how great the love of God is and that he would call us our children. And we say like John again, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me, that he would call me a son of his." As believers, do you realize that we have a special blessing upon us? In the text that was read, Jesus, having risen from the grave, appears to his disciples. Verse 19, again, I'm just reading to get the thoughts there. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." They saw him, they were glad, they rejoiced, and they believed. But Thomas wasn't there, he was missing, so the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus. And we know what Thomas said in verse 25, "Except I shall see..." Verse 25. "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my fingers into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now we might fault Thomas for that, but it seems that Jesus didn't. At least we don't have record of it here. The disciples were together a second time, Thomas being with them, and Jesus came to them according to verse 26. And notice what Jesus said in verse 27. He said, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Jesus didn't scold Thomas for first wanting to see and touch the wounds of Jesus in order to believe. Rather, he says, "Look, reach here and touch them, because don't remain unbelieving. Come and believe." After all, the other disciples had seen it too. It's not like they didn't see and believed. Then Thomas, in doing so, responded with one of the greatest declarations of Scripture when he said, "My Lord and my God." And then in verse 29, Jesus pronounces a blessing that Thomas nor any of the other disciples could receive. When he said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." But here it is: "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You and I are in that group. A special blessing upon us. Blessed are you. Blessed am I. Though we haven't seen our risen Savior, we still believe. It's because God has placed a faith in our hearts that is real, that believes in God, believes his word is true, and therefore we believe in the risen Son, Jesus Christ, without seeing him. What does our faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our faith in God really mean? Oh, it means that we rest in who God really is. As we walk this path of unknowns, as many days as God gives us this year, let us trust that God will be God and rest in who he is. And for this time this morning, we want to consider three of God's attributes. And there's plenty more than that, but just considering three this morning that we can count on each day. First, let us trust his wisdom. Daniel, after God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, he said this: "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Or really you could say there, his wisdom is without number. You can't measure it. You can't compare it to anything. There is no way to measure God's wisdom because there is no end to it. A.W. Tozer says this, and I quote, "Wisdom, among other things, is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. It sees the end from the beginning, so there can be no need to guess or conjecture," which simply means to speculate. "Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all, and thus able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision." End quote. That's our God. That's the kind of wisdom that he has. Everything he does is in perfect wisdom. He never does something and later thinks, "Boy, I could have done a better job with that." God in his wisdom means that anything and everything that he does cannot in any way be done better by you or I or anyone. In fact, his wisdom can't be improved upon, but neither can it be equaled. It's limitless. I think our little finite minds cannot quite grasp that when we think of God's wisdom. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, "O Lord, how manifold or how many in number are thy works." You look around and you see God's works. How many they are. "In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And Jude 1, 25, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Even though in this life we have pain, we have troubles, we have trials, we have tears and death, We still believe that our God is the only God, that he is wise and only acts in infinite wisdom. And it is by faith that we believe this is our God, and we trust in what he is. It doesn't take faith to believe something I can see or touch or hear. It doesn't take faith for me to know that Brother Steve's sitting down here. I can see him. If I walk down there, I know his arms are going to open up. I'm going to get one of those engulfing hugs. Even the size of me, he can still engulf me. I like that. And you know, if you've been around Steve, that he does that. And it's a blessing. It doesn't take faith for me to know that Steve is here. But it does take faith to believe in someone we can't see or touch or hear, at least in a physical voice, who works in our lives with infinite wisdom. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When we have this faith in God, a faith in one we haven't seen, yeah, we see the results of him, and we see his handiwork, but we haven't seen him face to face or actually seen God. When we have this faith in God, what will he do? Well, Isaiah 42, 16, in describing the help of the Lord, says this, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. In other words, he'll take care of the unknowns. He'll take us through them. One writer puts it this way, and I like the way they wrote this. Faith was made for moments like these, when God knows what you can't see and you don't understand, but you choose to believe. Oh, when you're standing in the in-between of what has been and what will be. Faith was made for moments like these. We need to trust God's wisdom. Secondly, we need to trust God's omnipresence. Like his wisdom, God's omnipresence is limitless. He's everywhere at the same time. Again, that's pretty hard for our little finite minds that can only be, or as humans, we can be one place at a time, to grasp that God is everywhere at the same time. It means that God is with you night and day, wherever you are, God's presence is there. And so it is for every other person here. Whatever you're doing within your life, it's not without God's presence. He's there, and at the same time, he's with me. During the past year, at times I believe Carol and I can say that we've experienced the presence of God in a way that we never have before. It's not that God's presence wasn't with us before, and it's not that we're any more special than anybody else. But it's simply that we've experienced it or realized it in a different way. To no fault of God's. He's always been there. What else does it mean for us? God's omnipresence. As we walk into the unknowns of our lives, God is already there. He's waiting. And you know what? He says, I've got this. You know, that little phrase, he's got this, was stated to me more than once in the past months when someone was trying to encourage me and they said, God's got this. Whatever we're facing, in our lives or whatever unknown we will face, because of God's infinite wisdom and his everywhere presence, he's got it. It's under his mighty hand. He has it. And I'm choosing to believe it. And I'm choosing to believe him. Oh, it doesn't mean that all of our unknowns will be free of tears, free of pain, free of hurt, free of tough times, or free of sorrow. But it does mean that God, being in the midst of the unknowns, because of his infinite wisdom and his omnipresence, he is worthy of our trust. You know, thoughts will come. Thoughts will come into our minds like, why don't you just give up? You know, that's not from God. But those thoughts come into our minds at times. But you know what? God will counter that thought with, why don't you just trust me? It'll be our choice. And these words aren't mine, but they speak my heart. They go like this. It says, I don't know the story he's unfolding, but I know in his will, he has a plan. So every day my prayer is to surrender, even when it's hard to understand. I choose Christ. When everything around me says give up, I choose faith. I choose to trust, to believe he is good. I'd rather say he's better than good. He'll come through like he said he would. Every time I choose Christ, his grace is sufficient. Whatever happens in my life, I've made my decision, no matter what the price. I choose Christ. It's our choice. As we face the unknowns, we need to trust God's wisdom, trust his omnipresence, and thirdly, trust his faithfulness. Our faith in God rests in what he is, all of his attributes. It is impossible for God to change. He can't change. Therefore, he can never be unfaithful to what he is. The fact that he can never change, he can never be unfaithful to what he is. Sometimes we may say a person acted out of character. They acted differently than who they really are. God never does that. God is everything he says he is, and he will never go against his word. That means we can totally put our confidence in who he is and what he is. He is totally faithful, unchanging. And you know that makes all the difference when facing the unknowns, because he is the one that we rest on. How would you like to rest your faith on someone that is wishy-washy? One day he's this way, next day he's this way. Maybe he's that way. You never know for sure which he's going to be like. That's not God. He's always faithful to who he is, to what he is. He's completely faithful. As we face the unknowns of this new year, we need to trust that God will be God. It may not be all easy going. We may need to go through the fire, so to speak. But rest assured, we can trust his infinite wisdom. We can trust his omnipresence, that he'll walk with us through the fire. He's already there. He'll be there. And we can trust he's always faithful. And you know what that means? That means that there's no better place to be than exactly where he puts us. There's no better place to be than exactly where he puts us. I want to leave you with these words. Again, they're not mine, but they say what I want to say this morning. So many times, I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. And then my frustration can get so out of hand. Oh, but it's then that I am reminded, I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. That's when I look at all his victories. And the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, just give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Oh, I know that within myself I would surely perish. But if I trust the mighty hand of God, he'll shield the flames again. Because I know that he never promised the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Hold on. Hold on. Because our Lord is there and he'll show up. And he'll take us through the fire again. He is worthy of our trust each new day that he gives us in 2018.
We have been encouraged this morning to continue our trust in God and have faith that he will be God. My experience has been the more I get to know him, the greater the trust. The more I seek him, the more I have faith in him. Let's conclude this service by expressing our hearts to God. He expressed his heart to us through our brother. Let's stand as we do that.